ready. We'll begin. This is Wednesday, February the 23rd, 2011. We are at St. Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church in East Helena, Montana, with its pastor, the Reverend Father Thomas O'Donnell, a man of Irish descent. And we are going to learn a little bit about his life and his Irish descent in this interview conducted for the Gathering, a project of the University of Montana and the Historical Society. Good afternoon, Father.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Father, would you please state your full name for the record? And because this is historical, I'm going to ask you to please spell your first name and your last name.
Well, my name is Thomas. I had a middle baptismal name, Lee, which is in the family, but I don't use it. Michael O'Donnell, T-H-O-M-A-S, O apostrophe capital D, O-N-N-E-L-L.
And Father, would you please give us the date of your birth?
Well, 1934.
All right, and where were you born?
In St. John's Hospital in Helena.
Now, does St. John's Hospital still exist?
The building does not exist. It was a victim of the 1935 earthquake.
And what are the names of your parents?
My dad is Arthur William O'Donnell. My mother, Montana Ann Parr.
And do you know the birth date of your father?
Dad was born on the 16th of March, 1898. And Mom was born on the 3rd of April, 1910.
And they were married in Montana?
Married at the cathedral on the 14th of October, 1933.
And do you know who married them?
I do. Come to me. Father Frank Harrington. Father Frank Harrington, who was an assistant at the cathedral at that time. And he later became the national chaplain of the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Mm-hmm. Now, your parents' oldest child?
I'm the older of two children, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you had a brother?
Brother, Bob. Uh-huh.
And Bob was also a priest?
Bob was ordained a priest in 1966.
Mm-hmm. So when would his birthday be?
July 25th, 1940.
3 years or so. No, 6 years.
6 years difference. 6 years. They lost, apparently, my mom and dad, they never talked about it, but apparently they lost a child between us.
And where did you live growing up?
The first house on Highland Street, 505 Highland, in Helena.
Is that house still here?
Still
today?
There, yes. Mm-hmm. The area was not as developed then as it is now. But my dad and mother rented a few places before they bought the house from Mr. Rapp, who lived a couple of doors up the street on Highland Street.
And did you move from that house at any time to another house?
Well, they moved into that house, I think, in 1940. And they sold the house in 1956, in my senior year at Carroll. 2 years they lived in Portland, Oregon, came back to Helena, and they bought a house on North Jackson Street. And they were in that house until the year after my dad died. So 1958 till 1979.
Now, you're a product of the local schools.
The local Catholic schools, St. Helena Parish Grade School, Cathedral High School, and then Carroll College.
And you have postgraduate degrees as well.
And I was on the faculty at Carroll and had graduate leave, went to St. Louis University for 4 years, and finished graduate school at St. Louis University.
And what was your degree from Carroll, please?
A bachelor's degree in philosophy with a minor in Latin, and what they called in those days a cognate major for purposes of teaching in high schools, to be accredited to teach in high schools, cognate major in history, and a minor in secondary ed.
Well, that's a lot. Now, what is your degree from St. Louis University?
PhD in sociology.
And after you graduated from St. Louis University, what did you do?
That was in 1969. I returned to teach at Carroll. I began to teach right after my ordination. So 1961 to 65, full-time teaching at Carroll. 65 to 69, graduate leave. Back to Carroll in 69, in teaching. 1972, I became the academic dean and later vice president of the college and dean, and left the college in 1978.
And there was a time when you were at Mount Angel.
Mount Angel. I went first to, from the college to St. Anthony's Parish, Missoula. I was there 4 years. And then 2 years at Mount Angel, so that would be 1978 to 82 in Missoula, 1982 to 1984 at the seminary in Oregon, and I left early because my health was not all that good. I came back in 1984, and Bishop asked me to go to Columbia Falls to St. Richard's. I was there a year.
Let me stop you a moment.
Yeah.
Who was the bishop?
At that time, Bishop Curtis.
And please continue.
Then up to St. Richard's in Columbia Falls, where Father Bernard Sullivan was pastor. There were two of us there at that time. I enjoyed that very much because we went into the park to say Mass on the west side of the park in the season, you know, when the park was open. Then after that, 1985 to 1990, I was back on the campus at Carroll, not teaching. I had a couple of diocesan appointments with an office in Borromeo Hall.
For the record, so everyone knows, yeah. Borromeo Hall is on the campus of Carroll
It's on
College.
The campus of Carroll College. 1990, I went to Kalispell to be the pastor of Risen Christ Parish. I was there 6 years. In 1996, Bishop Brunette asked me to come to my present appointment here in East Helena, and I've been here now since then.
Mm-hmm. Father, I don't know if we skipped. What is the date of your ordination?
May 27th, 1961.
And this May, you will have been an ordained Catholic priest for 50 years.
For 50 years, yeah.
Yeah. And your current age, please?
My age right now is 76.
And mm-hmm. You're going to have a birthday in July.
July.
So you'll become 77.
Yeah.
Easy math.
Yeah.
Now, for the record, I also want to make clear, Mount Angel is Mount Angel, Oregon?
The town is Mount Angel, Oregon, and the seminary is Mount Angel, well, the abbey is Mount Angel Abbey, and the seminary is on the grounds of Mount Angel Abbey. It's Mount Angel Seminary.
The abbey is run by the branch of the
Benedictine? By the Benedictine Fathers,
yeah. And that seminary covers not only priests from Montana, but also other Western states?
Other Western states.
Guam.
Yes, and Samoa, American Samoa, and some international students are there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Father, what I'd like to do is go back in time. Let us go back to your earliest ancestors that you can recall. Now, they came from Ireland, didn't they?
Well, I have a record they came from Ireland. That would be my great-grandfather and his wife, James O'Donnell and Anne Lee, came from Ireland. I don't know the year exactly. I don't know the date. Don't know the name of the ship. But
would you guess that that might have been around the 1840s.
Well, it was before 1840, and the family lore tells me they came in to the United States through the port of Philadelphia.
Around 1838?
Something in that area, 1838 maybe.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Do you know where they were from in Ireland?
I don't, and we tried to find out. A very nice lady in Dublin who talks to Americans told us that it's like looking for a tiny needle in a huge haystack, because we have no record from the Irish side. And she told us we should check it out from the American side and work back through immigration records. But I haven't done that yet.
All right. Now, they were married in Ireland.
Far as I know, yes, that's right.
And they came over by ship.
Yes.
To the port in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Then, and at that time, they had no children.
I don't know that. Yes. I suspect not, but I don't know.
And where did they go from Philadelphia?
Well, apparently, I'm just reading in, you know, between the lines here. They apparently just moved west, wherever west was. And my indication is that they ended up finally settling down in Wisconsin. My grandfather was born along the way, by the record, apparently in Ohio, Mechanicstown, Ohio, Carroll County, Ohio. And they settled in Wisconsin, and then Ann Lee died at some point, I don't know when. And my great-grandfather remarried. In the midst of all that, two of the older boys, my grandfather and his brother James, left home. Now, why they left home, I don't know.
All right, let me stop you a moment at this point. Do you have a current family picture of them available?
I have a current family picture of Terrence and his family.
All right.
Sure.
Could you show us that, please?
Let's see if I have it here. Here he is.
And for our videographer,
just hold it like that? Okay.
Now I'm going to ask you, first, if you have any idea when that picture was taken.
Well, my father is the youngest in the picture. My father is right here. Now, how old do you think he would be in that picture?
I'm going to guess 3 or 4 years old.
Let's say 3 years old. He was born in 1898. So 1901, do you think?
Good guess.
Good guess, okay.
The picture is a good resolution, so photography had moved along a bit.
It was taken in Helena. And how many of the children are there? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So 8 of the 10 children are there.
Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is to sort of point out and name the children.
Sure.
Name everyone in the picture.
Sure, I will.
In an order that suits you.
Sure, I will. I would just say that 2 of the children had already died.
So that would be a total of how many children?
10.
10 children.
10 children, and 8 are in the picture.
All right.
And I'll see if I can do it this way. Here's Terrence.
Terrence, in relation to you?
Is my grandfather.
Okay.
He died in 1917. And then on the other side is his wife, Mary Alice Swarbrick. She died 1937. So the rest are all the children.
Their children.
It's their children.
Now these are children born of the second marriage?
No.
No.
It's the only marriage.
The only marriage.
The only marriage of Terrence and Mary Alice.
Okay. It's the prior.
It's his father.
His father.
It's his father who came from Ireland.
Your grandfather. That's the marriage in Wisconsin.
That's right.
Terrence's father.
Terrence's father, James.
Now, Terrence was kind of an adventurer, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know why the boys left home, but was it during the Civil War, 1863? And they were going to California, so the story was. And winter stopped them in Utah. This is all part of the family lore, the oral tradition.
All right, that's what we're developing here too.
And so they were stranded in Utah for the winter. Springtime came and people were getting ready to pack up and go over Donner Pass down into California, when news came of a gold strike at Alder Gulch in Montana. Apparently the two brothers had a conversation about that, and my grandfather decided that he was not going to California. He was going to go north where I guess he thought the gold was fresh. And the brother decided not to go to California alone and not to go north. But he went back and eventually settled in St. Louis and dropped the O from the surname.
That was to avoid prejudice?
Prejudice.
Against the Irish.
Against the Irish and immigrants in those days, yeah. So my grandfather came north, and the Historical Society has a record that he arrived in Virginia City on the 23rd of May, 1864. Now, he would have been probably, 19 years old at the time, thereabouts.
Young man.
During the summer, that summer, word reached them of the gold strike at Last Chance Gulch, July of 1864.
And for the record, when we say Last Chance Gulch, we mean Last Chance Gulch in Helena.
In Helena, that's right. And so he left Virginia City and came over to Helena that fall, sometime in perhaps October. We don't know when exactly. Perhaps October of 1864. And he lived the rest of his life in Helena, died in February 1917.
And of course, from Terence comes your father.
My father. My father was the youngest of that family, of Terence and Mary Swarbrick, Mary Ella Swarbrick's family.
Now, Terence prospected for gold, didn't
he? He did.
And he used the gold pan?
He did.
And do you happen to have that gold pan?
I do have that gold pan.
And is this that gold pan?
This is the gold pan.
Identify that for the record?
Well, I guess so. I take it that this is my grandfather's gold pan. My father told me that. And somehow my dad had it, and I came across it in the house on Highland Street in the basement. And I asked him what this was, and he told me. And at that time, he was using it as a mixing a container to plaster the basement walls. And so we get some green on the gold pan. And, here it is.
That gold pan has been in the family for a long time.
Long time.
And you haven't tried using it, have you?
I've tried gold panning, but not with this pan, and I didn't strike it rich.
You've never taken any collections up with it?
No, that'd be a good idea. I should take a collection up with that.
Now, Terence did not strike gold, as far as you know.
Well, not in any significant amount that I know of. There might have been a nugget or two, but he didn't depend on that for his long-term livelihood, apparently. So I don't have any evidence that he struck it rich.
Now, did Terence get into another business?
He got into, from what I can tell from, the record here, he got into real estate and one thing or another. He became a justice of the peace and became, in those days, locally known as Judge O'Donnell. There's a book called Speak Ill of the Dead, recently published. It's at the Montana Historical Society. It's about criminals. And his name is in the first volume as a judge who was issuing a warrant for someone.
Let me say that the historical reviewers have not taken kindly to speaking ill of the dead.
Oh,
there
they don't.
There are Thomas Francis Marr articles in there which have been disproved. So there's a lot, and it was not really written, to my knowledge, this is me, as historical as everybody thinks. There's no question about it. It's the characterization of the characters. Some of them, there's always been some debate about that, but That's another story.
That's another story.
The university will have that.
Good.
Now, where did Terrence, do we know where Terrence lived in Helena?
The house, 557 South Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that house as a youngster, because it was still in the family when I was a youngster. It was not far from our own family home.
On Highland.
On Highland. And it was no trouble at all for me to go up the hill and visit the two aunts who are still living there, my dad's two sisters.
What were their names?
Mame, who was Mary Helen, Murray, and Florence Rowles, R-O-W-L-E-S.
Now, the aunts must have come over from Ireland?
No, they were born in Helena. Their picture's right there.
Okay. Oh, yes, the picture we went over.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, tell us about your parents, if you will. Well, before we do that, are there some newspaper articles extant that mention Terrence?
Well, I said, you know, that when you asked me about the interview, I went rummaging through some back files which I'd forgotten about. And I came across a few things, to my surprise, that I had filed away and forgotten about. Some years ago, there was a series of articles by Bill Campbell in the Independent Record called Gilding the Gulch. Articles taken from the files of the 1877 Helena Herald.
The precursor to the Record.
Record, to the Independent Record, yeah. Which, by the way, later on my dad worked for.
We're going to come to that, but can you give us a little synopsis of these articles?
Well, here I found out that this is an article that Bill Campbell ran in May of 1977.
So he would be speaking of
1877. Referring to the Herald in April of 1877, that Terrence O'Donnell had moved his stock of books and stationery to the south side of Broadway, a few doors west of the Herald office. Well, I have a picture of that place, where my grandfather's store was. Here's another one, also by Bill Campbell, June of 1977. Something about preparing for the visit of the Catholic Bishop of Nebraska and Montana, who was going to arrive in Helena. So there was a reception committee appointed, and Terrence O'Donnell was on the reception committee, 1877. And here's one also. This is June of 1976 by Bill Campbell. And it refers, where is it here? Well, oh, here it is. The semi-annual election day of the Catholic Benevolent and Total Abstinence Society of Helena, Sunday, March 5. That would have been 1876. At the organization's assembly rooms, and it tells how they went to Mass at the Church of the Sacred Hearts, and then they had a meeting in the afternoon. And my grandfather, Terrence, was elected president that afternoon.
Oh.
So it's in here.
While we have that file that you found, I wonder if you wouldn't mind, Father, if you could open it up and perhaps tell me what other items of history about yourself or family might be in there.
I just put these things away and forgot about them years ago. And so on this occasion, I found them. There's a... an excerpt from the Society of Montana Pioneers, Volume 1, The Register, dated 1899, about the son of James and Anne O'Donnell. That would be my grandfather's parents. Born in Mechanicstown, Ohio, Carroll County. Departed for Montana from Denver, Colorado, across the plains to Fort Bridger, and Salt Lake City, and came up from Utah.
Okay.
And then there's a little article in here about his store, bookseller, and stationer, and apparently that's in the description of businesses in Helena in those days. Here's something on the Catholic Benevolent and Total Abstinence Society, 1879. Montana Territory Directory of History and Business. And then something about Terry O'Donnell, miner living on Main Street, in an article called 134 District Gulches, 475 miles of gold diggings in the area of Helena. Well, so, and here's an article from the Helena Daily Independent in 1917. It's an obituary of Terrence, who died, and this is his obituary from the newspaper in 1917.
And Terrence had a bookstore?
Terrence had the first and only Catholic bookstore in the territory. And it just turned out, more by coincidence than anything else, that a picture was taken of a parade coming down Broadway onto what today is called the Gulch, but in those days Main Street. Well, when they took the picture of the parade, they took the picture of the parade route and on the buildings around there. And here's the Catholic bookstore with Terrence O'Donnell's name on the sign.
Okay, now we want to be sure we have this. Father O'Donnell, we were just mentioning, Terrence had a bookstore.
He had what was called a Catholic bookstore in Helena, apparently in the 1870s. And there was a photograph taken of a parade, and the photograph included the picture of the bookstore.
Could you just put a finger on the Catholic bookstore? I can see the sign in the picture.
It's right, let's see, there it is, it's right there.
Hold it up for our camera.
Sure.
Great. Would you please continue for us?
Well then, he had the bookstore. How long it was there, I don't know. Apparently, it didn't last a long time, but I don't know. I know they lived upstairs. The small family lived above the store. And
did any of the books from the store ever survive in the family?
I don't know about the books, but I have a crucifix and a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary from the bookstore. And I think I have a rosary from the bookstore. I can't think of whatever else I had today that I could put my finger on. I think I probably had a Bible at one time that I gave away to the Catholic school that I don't have anymore.
Now, we've heard about Terrence, of course,
yeah,
his adventures, and
yeah,
this Irishman, yeah, getting to Montana.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to move forward. Terrence has children.
10 children.
One of them is your father.
My father's the youngest.
And what is your father's name?
Arthur William.
And Arthur, where was Arthur William born?
Helena, St. John's Hospital.
And when was he born?
16th of March, 1898.
And Arthur William educated here in Helena?
My dad lost his hearing when he was an infant from an infancy disease. He told me it was scarlet fever. So he might have been a year or two old. That would be 1900 or 1899, something like that. And so he was deaf. He had no hearing at all. And he was educated at the State School for the Deaf, which in those days was in Boulder. And he did not go on to college.
But he had a very good trade.
He had a very good trade. He was a linotype operator. He did his training in New Jersey. He did his apprenticeship in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Came back to Helena, went to work for what was then called the Record Herald on Broadway. He told me that the owner, Dr. Landstrom, Oscar Landstrom, was so intrigued by the notion of a deaf printer that he came down from the upper offices in that building to the composing room to see my dad do the interview on the linotype. And
so your dad actually sort of set the type in answer to...
Well, the state of the art in those days was a Mergenthaler linotype machine. And it was a big, noisy, hot beast of a thing with lead slugs coming across.
The letters.
Yeah, well, then they type in the letters that are being pressed on the lead. And that was the state of the art for 100 years or more. And my dad went to work for the Record Herald, I think 1921 or 22, and he retired in 1966.
A long career.
In the meantime, yes, a long career. In the meantime, the Record Herald merged with the Helena Independent and became the Independent Record. And the offices moved down to Main Street and then later relocated up to Allen Street, where they are now.
And eventually, because you're here, your dad met a young lady.
My dad met a young lady who was from Basin, of all places, at a dance in Basin. And her name was Monty Montana Parr, P-A-R-R. And she also lost her hearing as an infant. My mom was born in Butte. And her father and mother moved the family up to Corbin and Wicks. Both grandfathers were miners when they came here. And my grandfather Parr was a miner. But he died up there of pneumonia, 1922. And his widow, my grandmother, moved the family down to Basin with four children and no income. And she became the janitor at the Basin Grade School. And that's how she supported the family. My mother did remembers some of her early growing up in the cabin up at Wicks, which she many years later showed me. We went up there together, the two of us, and she showed me. And then they moved to Basin, and then she grew up in Basin after that.
And they met at the dance.
They met at there was apparently a Friday night barn dance of some kind in Basin, and all the eligible folks would go to the barn dance.
Now, for the record, I should say that Basin, Montana, is in Jefferson County, Montana.
Yeah.
And it is still there, and it is an exit off I-15 south.
Yeah.
As you go toward Butte.
Yeah.
And there was mining in that area.
Oh, yes, yeah. And a small smelter that never, apparently, no smoke ever went through the smokestack at the smelter.
And that, I think, was gold mining fallout.
I think so. I would think so. I'm not sure. Yeah.
And because both parents were deaf,
yeah.
You and your brother learned to sign.
Sign language. Sign language was my first language.
Growing up.
But the family, my dad's side was in Helena. The extended family in Helena were concerned, as were my parents, that I would learn English. So I was in the company of aunts and uncles a lot as a youngster.
To hear this.
Yeah. To learn the language and so when I started school, I was more than ready for that.
And do you know, if we look back, if any of your ancestors, as they came to the United States, spoke any Gaelic?
I don't know that. I just don't know that.
But they certainly maintained their Catholic faith.
They did.
From Ireland.
They did, yeah.
And now, of course, you grew up in Helena. And Helena was a different community than Butte. As far as the Irish
yes. were concerned. Was it that certainly a fair was. It certainly was. Growing up in Helena is a lot different than growing up in Butte, I guess, from what they tell me. Yeah, Helena, when I was a youngster, I think I recall them saying Helena was a town of about 11,000 to 12,000 people in the 1940s. And nothing east of the capital, nothing at all.
And
well, a couple of houses out there, but not much.
And would you say it was less favorable toward the Irish than Butte?
Well, you know, memory. You're sometimes, my recollection is that we had the Cathedral Church, of course, which was a prominent symbol of and statement of the Catholic presence, not only in Helena, but in Montana. But the Catholic population of Helena was different than it would be in Butte. Helena, as I recall it, was predominantly non-Catholic.
Was there some bigotry to a level?
Well, I guess there would have been. That was not uncommon in those days, and probably there was in Butte too, also, or wherever there were Catholics, you know, or Jewish people, or any minority.
How about as to the Irish?
I suspect there was an anti-Irish bias that I didn't have to live with so much, but I think my grandfather did, and maybe his children did, which is one reason why I suspect they never talked about their Irish heritage that I know of when I was growing up in Helena. In Butte, they did. In Helena, as far as I know, certainly in my family, it was never mentioned. And so I didn't know enough when I was younger to ask the questions that I wished I had asked.
Now, there's a song called O'Donnell Aboo.
Yeah, there is.
Now, are you and your family in any way the subject of that?
Well, our ancestors probably were. The first time I heard that song or knew of it at all was when I was a student at Carroll College, and Father John O'Connor was a professor at Carroll and born and raised in Ireland. And he introduced me to the song and sang it.
Now, you've certainly known a fair number of Irish people.
Well, people with Irish names, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, people with Irish names,
and,
yeah.
You're a member of the Ancient Order of Hibernians.
Yes, I am a member of the Ancient Order of Hibernians.
And yeah. As you look back, how would you, if you had to sort of describe the Irish in Montana in some way, how would you describe them?
Well, I think of Thomas Francis Marr and the post-Civil War situation in Montana and the aftermath of that was when my grandfather arrived. Well, he came during the Civil War. It was not an easy place to live in. It was a challenging place to live, and there were strong and opposing feelings politically and ethnically in the state. There was apparently quite a migration of the people resettling from the old Confederacy out west after the war, and some of them came to Helena and Montana. I don't think that helped to calm the waters any out here. But it was a turbulent time, and we know from the history of the state that there was a fair amount of lawlessness until the government took hold in the state. So I think it was a difficult place to live. And I'm really in admiration of the pioneers who came out here and settled in and raised their families. And
would you say they were generous in spirit?
They were generous in spirit. They were strong people. They were persevering. And I think that they put up with a lot of hardship out here.
And yet you think kind.
Well, from all, yes, I would say so. They were hospitable to strangers. They were loving on their families. They were trusting people. And they gave of themselves to their families and to the society, the towns in which they grew up, or the farms that they grew up in. It must have been very difficult, very difficult.
Well, Father, I would like to thank you for this walk through your life and ancestry this afternoon on a winter but sunny day.
Yeah, I thank you.
In Helena, Montana, and also for letting us take this in the church.
Well, you're welcome here, of course, and I want to express my best regards to the gathering and to you and to the photographer here, Brendan, and to your efforts. And I would say if I can do anything to further the project, I'd be glad to do that.
Thank you very much, Father, and we shall certainly try to see that you get a copy of this when the University of Montana and the Historical Society are finished with it,
good.
As they do.
Good.
I thank you, and of course, put on the tape, Brandon Woodward, our photographer, and
good.
I conclude. My name is Jim Hamill, merely the interviewer. So, again, we look forward to your next 100 years.
Thank you very much. I didn't get a chance to go through the whole family, but I don't know.